woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Our website all over the world is wildmichiganradio.com, and you can pick up our podcast right there and hear what's going on. Thanks so much in the first hour to Doug Roberts of Conquest Sense sharing the Heat Seeker with us. This is an exclusive to Wild Michigan, and it is a product that will be out in 2017 that will allow deer hunters to use and detect when a doe in its estrus cycle will be in your area. It'll pick up on that. The test strips will do what they're supposed to do. And if you listen to the interview, you'll hear more about the Heat Seeker, something brand new coming for 2017. I want to thank our friends at Darton Archery out of Hale, Michigan, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo and Hillsdale, Michigan, and of course, Costa Sunglasses, bringing you Wild Michigan as well. And in the first hour of the show, we spoke with Bruce, who is the new smallmouth state record holder. The old record lasted 11 months. The record before that, 106 years. Absolutely incredible. And Bruce Kramer is now a lucky man with a 9-pound-plus smallmouth that he caught, and you can hear the story at wildmichiganradio.com. So now we're going to switch gears, go back into the deer aspect of things with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. We're going to talk a little bit about CWD as we get closer to the opening week of bow season, October 1st here in Michigan. Chad, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Not as good as you, though. It sounds like all those amazing interviews you do. What a job you have. Well, how cool.
Yeah, but they're interviews. I'm not fishing. I'm not I'm talking about it. Kind of like you. You get to work the field a little bit more than I do. But it makes for a lot of fun because we get to share these stories with people around the state and wherever else they listen across the country, because it's what's happening near us. And, you know, and when I explained to you briefly off air, about Doug's new product, I mean, it's like it got really quiet. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, and then all of a sudden it just kind of hit you. Something that, you know, will be able to detect the estrus pheromone in the air of the area you hunt.
Yeah, it's just incredible, the stuff that they keep coming up with. And like I said, if it does what it says it does, I think it's going to be a huge hit for them. So good on them, and good for you for helping cover it. That's great.
Well, yeah, I mean, Doug and Karen have been friends for a long time. They've been in the industry a long time, and have really worked hard to get where they're at, and I think are really doing a good service to the people that have deer farms, and you know, as a good example anyway, in my opinion, because there's a lot of bad that goes with that. And unfortunately, we saw that a few years ago when there was a captive deer in the Grand Rapids in Kent County anyway, that showed positive for CWD. Then you had the owner try and sneak more deer out at that time. And now we have it in the wild here in Michigan. And if we could bring people up to speed, Chad, as to how we found out about this last year in May of 2015.
Yeah, so last year we had a call come in that there was a very sickly looking deer walking around a neighborhood in Ingham County, specifically Meridian Township, and one of the local law enforcement officers responded and put that deer down, and we sent it off to get testing at our lab, and it became the first animal in free ranging deer that became tested for positive for CWD in Michigan. So that instituted a reaction based on our CWD response plan that basically created a management zone and created several different steps to basically limit the spread or help contain the disease. And that's what we've been doing basically for the past year and a half at this point. And to date, we've tested over 6,000 deer, over 5,000 of them from our management zone. And we just we haven't confirmed it yet, but we suspect we have now an eighth positive, which we expect to confirm here in the next week or two.
Now, is that from the same area and possibly from the same bloodline of what we've found already?
It's definitely from the same area. So the animal, the latest animal, that number eight that came across, was in very close proximity to four other positive deer from Meridian Township. So they're all very close and very much clustered together. We are doing some genetic testing on it, but that takes a little bit longer, so that's pending. So it'll be interesting to see if this one is related to the other ones or not.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, I want to hope it is, thus giving us a lineage as to how this is all kind of coming about. We know that, I mean, there's so many different ways that these prions are getting in to these deer, but at least we have them so far in one area. And has it been completely confirmed as to how this happened?
No, we still don't know, and I don't think we'll ever truly know how we got the disease where we did. It certainly wasn't a deer movement issue as far as a natural movement. It didn't come in from Indiana, or, a deer didn't swim across Lake Michigan from Wisconsin and just set up shop in Ingham County. It was probably a human-assisted movement of the disease, and what that means or how that happened, we'll never really know. So we can sort of provide all the guesswork we have looking back, but, I prefer to look at the present and the future and deal with what we have and what we're dealing with and try to make the best recommendations moving forward on how to keep the spread from happening too fast.
Chad Stewart is joining us here with the Michigan DNR on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you miss any of this, you can pick up the podcast from our website directly. Chad, last May 2015, I was in a meeting with Dan Eichinger and Drew Youngdyke from the MUCC when we got that phone call. And believe me, the faces on all of us just all kind of dropped, saying, it's official. Here we go. The press release is coming here on after. But it was a really kind of solemn experience to finally know that we had an issue here in Michigan.
Yeah, no. When I got the first call too, it was sort of like, wow. You always expect that one day you're going to get that call as a deer biologist. It's just, okay, where did it happen? I think the most surprising thing was it is where we found it. It was Central Michigan. There's and in a city or basically a community.
Sure.
I think we're the first state to really identify it in a suburban deer herd as its initial detection. So that was very puzzling and very, very strange and very unique. So I think many of us had the same reaction that you guys probably had.
Yeah, it was faces hitting the floor going, oh no, here we go. And knowing full well what we did the last time on that private facility in Kent County. But we have changed things. We have changed how we do things. Before, they shut down a peninsula, and first, initially, we went to a core area, and now we're at three counties.
Yeah, so I think there was a lot learned from that first experience, and we adjusted our response plan accordingly. Obviously, the baiting ban, was not well received, especially peninsula-wide. So we decided to make it, much more focused this year or this time, and I think overall the support has been largely positive for the most part in how we responded so far.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, people I talk to seem to be in the know for the most part. They have a very good idea as to what they can and can't do and even where the locations are. So I think the message has really gotten out. You guys have done your due diligence and really spread the information well so we can get that. Now, upcoming bow season is going to happen. We're going to talk more with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR here in a couple of minutes. So hang on, Chad. We'll come right back with you. We're going to find out what we need to do as hunters, especially in this three-county area, to prevent the spread of CWD here. Talking about it next on Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Nick Munt of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Darton Archery. I'm shooting a DS-700. Love that short ATA bow. And, of course, they have the brand new Toxin 150 SS. And that is a smoking crossbow as well. And if you get the SST model, it's kind of got that blacked out look with the new pistol grip, adjustable pistol grip, and Darton Archery doing it right here in Michigan for so many years. Back with Chad Stewart now of the Michigan DNR, talking about 8th local deer that has possibly tested positive for CWD. And, you know, we've had, I say we've been lucky for the most part, and we've been really lucky, Chad, that this has been so centrally located. So far, though, how many deer have you taken out of this herd in this area?
Out of Meridian Township, we've tested over, I think, 1,000 deer at this point. And that's a combination of several different ways of collecting them. So obviously we've got roadkill that we're picking up. We've got disease control permits that we issue to landowners. Obviously hunters make up a huge part of what's being tested, you know, for our whole program. And then locally we've got sharpshooters who are working, and they're only working on private property where they have permission. Mm-hmm. Within basically about a 2-mile radius of where we have a known positive. So we try to keep their activities limited and very tight to where we have known CWD occurring.
Now, this most recent deer, do we have of an age and sex of this deer, and how is it was taken?
It's a 3.5-year-old male, and it was taken in Meridian Township, and it was taken through our sharpshooting management. So we rely largely on our hunters for the surveillance aspect of it, because they bring in deer from everywhere, and that's where we really get a good feel for where it's occurring. But we use our sharpshooters for that intensive management of the disease. So where we have a known positive, we work really hard on getting permission and removing deer and getting deer tested out of that area that's really tight. And that's proven pretty effective at getting rid of the number of positive animals on the landscape.
Chad Stewart joining us here from the Michigan DNR. Chad, we've got the youth hunt coming up. We have the first weekend of bow season coming up October 1st. And we know in the three-county area of Ingham, Clinton, and Shiawassee County, if I'm correct, that there is mandatory testing. Let's clear up some myths right now as to how this has to happen, because people will be concerned if they get a trophy buck about, you know, how do I protect my antlers and cape and everything else, and what we need to do. And, you know, the deer check stations will be going up as well.
Right. So we have our management zone, which is expanded this year. It's actually now including Eaton and Ionia County, as well as the three you previously mentioned. So the big picture there is there's basically a baiting and feeding ban in those five counties. We also expanded our core zone to now include 17 townships, which is basically all of southern Clinton County, two townships in northeastern Eaton, and then the remaining ones we had from last year in Ingham and one in Shiawassee. If you're hunting in those 17 townships, basically you have to bring a deer in to get it tested. Now, if you do shoot a really nice buck, we'll work with you, obviously, on it. So bring your deer in. Tell them that, you know, you're going to do either a shoulder mount or a Euro mount on it, and we'll give you a slip to sort of go off on your own and have your taxidermist, you know, cape it out, and then you can bring the head in later. So if you shoot a really nice buck, we will absolutely work with you. We're not going to destroy anything.
Yeah, that's important for people to know, too, because I know there's that fear. There's that fear that somebody says, well, this is going to mess it up, so I'm just not going to take it in. You have to take it in. Those are the rules, and we follow rules as hunters and anglers in the state. Now, I know, because I work, my offices and studios are over here on Pine Tree Road in Lansing, that the Michigan DNR has a new field office. Is that replacing the Rose Lake office now?
No, we've got the Rose Lake office is still there. Our local biologist and our technician are based out of there. They're not in the main office where most of staff used to be, but they're just down the road. But we still have a connection there, and the local biologist is based out of there. But you're right, we opened up a customer service center sort of on the south side of Lansing, and that's geared to basically just provide more customer support for people in that area.
Yeah, it's right off of Jolly Road, kind of behind Jolly Road between Dunkel and Dunkel and Collins Road. I only drive it every day for the past 18 years. You think I know where I'm going? But it's you know, and just follow the orange signs. And if you're in Lansing at that area, and of course, Michigan.gov/DNR, I'm sure all the listing for all of those other sites will be there as well.
Yeah, they've got street signs up now directing it to us, and that's actually one of the check stations this year for CWD testing. So you can look at our map. Just go online to michigan.gov/CWD, download the CWD management map, and that actually shows you the five check stations that we have, and that would be one of them where you can bring a deer in and get it tested.
Now, Chad, let's go off of off the CWD topic a little bit. Was talking with Doug Roberts, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Doug around deer quite a bit, and he says that it's just a bloody mess, as he put it, around his place, because the bucks are finally starting to shed their velvet from the antlers. And with the youth hunt this weekend, which I believe is this weekend, that's going to be interesting to see the kids, you know, getting out. They might find something with still some velvet on them.
There's a possibility. Yeah, most of velvet comes off mid-September. The youth hunt is just early enough, or you might get a few that are still running around with velvet, or maybe even hanging off. But most of them should be pretty hard by now. So that's usually a mid-September activity in the deer world. But I mean, how if you're a kid, how exciting are you? Is it to finally get out and, you know, what you've been looking forward to going out all year, and it's just literally right around the corner. It's coming up, so. Hopefully we're going to see a lot of smiling faces and successful deer hunters on social media and whatnot this weekend.
And we definitely want to see the pictures as well. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Post those kids' photos on there. And you know what? I know I don't have to say this, but this is something that I say all the time every year, is let the kids do the shooting. I know parents are excited. They want to help their kids. The kids have to do this on their own. And, you know, and if, you know, if you take offense to it, well, okay, fine. But you know where I'm coming from, and that's just my position on it, because I know it happens sometimes. I know parents want to do what they feel is right, and look, I'm a parent, I get it, but you got to let the kids pull the trigger, plain and simple. But Chad, a lot of good things happening, even around CWD. We're looking forward to a good year with a lot of great antler growth. I think we've really had the opportunity to see it happen.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good year. Obviously, you know, from an individual perspective, deer hunting season is what you make of it. You know, the time you put in ahead of the season is going to be pretty critical. But it's going to be a good year, I think, especially in the Lower Peninsula.
All right, Chad Stewart, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, having one hell of a time with this show today. So much fun. So much fun on this show. I can't remember when I've had this much fun doing this show. But thanks again to Chad Stewart of the Michigan DNR, talking about CWD and how we have to handle it. And, you know, getting the news out is what we do. It's, I don't know. It's stuff needs to be, you have to be in tune with what is going on around the state as far as new rules and new regulations. Like Chad said off air, you know, they can send out press release after press release, but the info has to come from somewhere else as well. And that's why we need to share that with you. Now, my good friend Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com shared a story on his website. And lo and behold, DNR sent the press release out on Wednesday. Looks like another state record fish has been caught. And, of course, we talked to Bruce Kramer a little bit ago on the show, in the first hour of the show. And if you missed that, go to wildmichiganradio.com, click on the podcast button, and download the podcast, because it's a great story. And, Dan, what is going on? Last year we break a 106-year-old record, now that I've got my math all squared away. This time, Bruce Kramer from Florida breaks a record that stood only for 11 months. What is going on with smallmouth bass fishing?
it's the good old days. I mean, these are the good old days. It's and it could be unfortunate, if you look at it that way, that it's introduced species, but the gobies and the rusty crayfish are providing an abundant food source, and the fish are just growing a lot bigger, a lot faster. And despite more people going up there and fishing in the northern part of Michigan, it's just growing some huge fish, and a lot of that's because catch and release. You know, not too many people keep too many of these fish, and they let them grow. And talking to the DNR, they said this fish probably wasn't even that old, you know, like it would be in the past, just because it's eating so well. It's probably a younger fish. We're not going to, unfortunately, find out, but they think this is a younger fish that just grew incredibly fast.
You know, it's funny, because I remember last year we spoke with Greg Gasichel out of Rhodes, Michigan, who was fishing. He was like an alternate in a fishing tournament. You know, cold, wet, windy day, ends up breaking a record that stood for 106 years. Now we've got Bruce Kramer coming up out of Florida, vacationing here in Michigan for the summer. I love this story. Floating a worm on a number four hook off the shore.
Yeah, and he's using a three-way rig, which is interesting, because he didn't want to catch a bunch of gobies. He said otherwise the gobies eat all his worms. And it's just a pretty simple rig, but it's effective and current. And obviously it worked for him. And this is actually, I know of at least one more 9-pound bass caught this year. And I have a rumor that there was actually 3 9-pound bass caught this year, which just, it's just astounding for a bass in this part of the country to get that big. It's just mind-boggling.
Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com joins us here on Wild Michigan. Dan, this has got to be showing national attention in a state. We are not known for bass, but we have the most well-known bass angler in the world coming out of Kalamazoo. And do you think, now that we've broken a couple of records, the word is getting out about smallmouth, do you think we're going to start to become a destination location?
Oh yeah, we're second behind Florida in attracting out-of-state anglers, and I think we're going to give them a run for their money, because people want to catch these giant smallmouth, and this is going across the internet like a lightning rod. It's just amazing to see. This is one of the biggest smallmouths caught anywhere ever. You know, just shy of 10 pounds. I can only think of two or three other 10-pound smallmouth I've ever heard of being caught that, you know, are verified. So this is incredibly rare fish. And now it's all over the internet that about the second 9-pound bass that was caught in the spring. Oh, that was out of Burt Lake, too, you know, near Indian River. Next year it's going to be a little busier up there, I think.
Well, you know, and a good friend of ours, Steve Barry, just commented on our Facebook page for Wild Michigan. He says, you know, he looks for that record to be broke again in the coming years. It could be broken again in the coming months. I mean, the way we're talking, like you said, with this food source that initially is a couple of invasive species like lake trout and everything else are starting to eat the goby, and they're getting fat.
Yeah, it's amazing. Talking to Tim Swalinski, the biologist who, you know, watched the way of this record fish, you know, he's literally saying that he expects it to not stand for more than a few months. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it was a 9-pound, 3-ounce bass caught back in June on Burt Lake.
rumor of another 9-pound bass. And then I actually saw a bass just like 3 years ago on Torch Lake that I thought was a carp. It was so big, and it was in a shallow bay, and unfortunately I spooked it, but it was a monster. And this is two bass I've seen that size on Torch Lake. So there's just some giant bass growing up there, and it's bound to be caught. You know, they're bound to run into somebody's lure or somebody's bait anytime now. So I think it's not going to be another 100 years. I think it's going to be just a few months, you know, maybe next spring even.
You know, I was fishing a few years back, and the pictures have been up on our webpage and on the Facebook page, fishing a few years back on a river off of US 2 in the Upper Peninsula, and is the Millicoquin River. You drive right over it all the time. Nobody pays attention. Right there outside of Naubin Way, I, along with some friends, I was flipping a double-bladed spinner bait, landed a 6-pounder and then a 5-pound smallmouth, you know, just right there from the shore on a river that everybody drives over.
Yeah, and you got to realize, I mean, it wasn't that many years ago when a 5-6-pound smallmouth was a big, big deal. And now it hardly, you know, gets people to look because there's so many big smallmouths being caught. You know, almost everybody that fishes a lot for them is catching 5-pound smallmouth and some 6-pounders. And every year I see, half a dozen 6, 7, 8, 7-pounders. There was an 8.5-pounder caught near Fawn Island in the St. Clair River just like 2 weeks ago. 8 pounds, 8 ounces, you know, caught in a river fish. That's just amazing. And it's I think it's just going to be so exciting the next, you know, few years why these fish, just to see how big they can get. We potentially could be pushing the world record.
Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com joining us here on Wild Michigan. Our website for the podcast and everything else we've got going on is at WildMichiganRadio.com. Dan, when I look at smallmouth and I look at the BASS, has smallmouth always been allowed in those tournaments and the Elite Series tournaments?
Oh, yes, it has. They just, you know, they fish so much down south that until the last 7-8 years where they started fishing up north a lot, you know, they just were dominated by largemouth fisheries. So now they're hitting the smallmouth fisheries, and that's where you see the consistent, you know, those 18, 19, 20, 20-plus pound limits is these big smallmouth up here in New York and Michigan and a few other places, Wisconsin. You're going to see that in Mille Lacs here in a few weeks when they hit Mille Lacs. Mille Lacs has got an amazing smallmouth bass fishery. It's the thing now, you know, if they can get up here and catch these 20-pound limits of smallmouth. I mean, there never used to be 20-pound limits of smallmouth when I first started tournament fishing.
You know, and I look back to the least amount of weight ever caught, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was by Kevin Van Dam, and I think it was like 4 pounds.
Yeah, that was that might have been Pittsburgh, the river. I'm not sure. It was pretty wimpy. But yeah, nowadays, I mean, they're hitting more and better fisheries, and the weights are just amazing. And yet, the weights like that come in every weekend. Like St. Clair, it's nothing to see 20, 21, 22, 23 pound, even 25 pound stringers of bass being weighed in and let go again to be caught again. It's so much fun to get out there and do that.
It's pretty amazing. I really haven't watched much bass fishing, but over the past 3 years, as you know, and you have also attended the Bassmaster Classic, down south, it's a completely different thing. And last year when it was in South Carolina, I mean, it was cold. You heard guys making that noise, and I was laughing because I knew they were blowing ice out of the islets. But hang on with me. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com is his website. We're going to find out what he's been up to on the legislative end here on Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. So glad to have you along here, and thanks to each and every one of you making a difference in this country, protecting it, be you military, armed forces, Any of our firefighters, law enforcement, I don't care, even if you're a security guard, thank you guys very much for protecting people on a daily basis. We really appreciate it. A quick note to pass along, the Gander Mountain in Lansing on the west side is closed. They are awaiting their brand new facility, which they are stocking right now. That is going to be huge, located right next to Menards on Saginaw Highway out in Grand Ledge. My good friend Brian Keel. I had the opportunity to be there on the very last day of the old Gander Mountain, but the new Gander Mountain is coming and it's going to be huge. And I thought I'd throw a quick shout out to those guys because there are a lot of good friends of mine that work over there, and it's going to be a huge store. So let's get back. We're talking smallmouth bass fishing with Dan Kimmel. We talked a little bit about Bruce Kramer's new state record. And again, you know, like we said, 106 years, the previous one with Greg Gesichel that got broken last year. This one only lasting 11 months. And now possibly the way these fish are growing and eating these invasive species, it could be a couple of months again before we see a new state record. And this is going to be like Kenny Bernstein breaking the 300-mile-an-hour mark in Top Fuel. You know what I mean? This is going to see, when we hit that 10-pound mark, is going to be a huge thing. We're so close. We're like touching that 10-pound mark, but we haven't got to it yet, and we know what's out there.
Yeah, I've seen them. I mean, you see these bass, and they just, like I said, when a bass looks like a carp, that's a big bass, and it's hard to misjudge that. It may not be 10 pounds, it may be 9, 9.5, but you know, one of the times I was with a very seasoned angler, and I'd never seen him excited before. He was a very quiet guy, and his jaw just dropped, and he said, "Do you have any idea how big it was swimming down a log, how big that smallmouth is?" And I said, "All I know is I want to catch it."
Get a worm and a hook.
Yeah, three-way rig. There you go. You don't need to do anything fancy, obviously, to catch basically a 10-pound. Everybody's calling it a 10-pound bass. It was so close, though. The next one will have to break 10 pounds, and I think it'll happen, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, too, and it's going to be that landmark, you know, that big landmark here in Michigan. But a few weeks ago, you guys had your legislative fishing outing where, you know, you get the legislators from the Capitol out there, you get them fishing. Last year, I had the good fortune to attend, and I apologize, I missed it this year. It's been a crazy year with a new wife, a new house, and everything else that's gone on this year. So how did it go this year?
Yeah, you've had quite the year, but we had quite the day. We had beautiful weather again, which is just amazing. 2 years in a row to have beautiful weather. And we had about 9 senators and reps show up. We had 4 or 5 staff. We had DNR. We had Amy from MUCC, and everybody caught a few fish. There were some interesting catches, muskie again. We got into white bass, a bunch of white bass, smallmouth. And it went really well. And everybody, again, stayed for a long time after lunch. It's hard to get, you know, legislators, normally when they're free to go, they go, or they go mm-hmm. early. And yet we had them all stay for over an hour eating lunch and just talking. And the talk was just about every topic you can imagine. It was just a really good get-to-know and learning sessions for everybody.
Now, you've worked really hard on the legislative end for bass anglers across the state, not just bass anglers, but anglers in general, to get this open bass season, immediate catch and release, and everything else that we have not had the opportunity to do here. And so far, if you could bring us up to date as to, you know, what you've accomplished, because you have done a great deal, Dan. I gotta let people know that you have worked tirelessly to get these things, you know, to get these people recognized and to give us greater opportunities to fish.
Yes, I've always thought that if I could leave the world a slightly better place, I want to do it, and I decided that I'd do it with my love of fishing and the outdoors. So one thing I wanted to do was, you know, let us bass fish all year, so we can do that now. And I'm still working on it. I haven't given up because I want a longer tournament season. It'd be amazing if we could have tournaments in May. Again, they'd be catching the fish and letting them go anyway. So just a matter of keeping them for a little while. So that's the next goal. But that, you know, the Scientific Fish and Wildlife Conservation Act was important because now we have a chance to, you know, use science to manage our fishing game instead of, you know, something that could be really scary, other things that could go wrong. and worked on recently on the net pen aquaculture. They wanted to put net pens, say, in Traverse Bay and places like that. And, you know, you just have kind of an ecological nightmare with that when there's other ways to do it. So we're trying to compromise because there's a big push to do it, but we don't want them to do it. And we're working on guiding legislation right now to kind of, we don't really have clear guiding legislation for hunting guides and fishing guides. It's a couple things they have to do, but this would make it same across the board for everybody and make it a nicer experience for people. So there's always something going on.
Yeah, I agree, because it's, look, you know, I mean, when I drew an elk tag in 2013, and this is comparative because this can go with any guide, okay? And I don't care if this guy hears this or not. You know, if he knows this was me, you know, if he's saying to himself, yeah, he's talking about me, well, good, because now you'll know how I feel exactly, because I didn't go back to tell him. It was one of these things. I was told by this guide, air quotes, up north, that, oh yeah, the DNR is always trying to give me a ticket. Well, there's red flag number one.
Uh-oh.
And then he says, and they're always trying to give my son a ticket too. Well, red flag number two. And when I got the outline of the area he wanted to hunt, he points out to me, yeah, we're right there next to that line of the no hunting zone for elk in Michigan. Red flag number three says, okay, there is no way in hell I'm hunting with this guy, because the DNR does not target you unless you're doing something wrong. Okay, plain and simple. And they are people, you know what, you can shake your head, oh, yes, they do, and this and that and the other. No. All right, unless you have give them probable cause, they're not specifically picking you out unless you've got probably a personal beef with somebody, then just maybe. But there has to be equal guidelines for guides of all types out there to, like you said, make it a more fun, enjoyable, and even a learning experience, and not in a bad way.
Yeah, there's good guides, and then there's guides that, you know, they just come and go. And the guides that come and go are the ones that this is targeted at, because, you know, there's been complaints and some concerns. So this is going to clarify all that and kind of make it an outfitter slash, you know, guide understudy kind of a situation, where there's a head outfitter that leads a pack of guides, and then he's responsible. And it's going to require reporting, so the DNR will have more information on what they're catching and what they're shooting too. So
sure.
That'll be new, and that'll be helpful to managing the resource.
Well, you know, it is to protect what we love. You know, we put a lot of money into licenses, into travel expenses, and the Pittman-Robertson Act with ammunition. We do a lot. We do a lot, and we want the experience to be the best that we can. And Dan, we really appreciate all the hard work you're doing with GreatLakesBass.com on the legislative end, on the recreational end, and the educational end. I mean, the website, you are tireless with this website. And it was kind of funny when we were talking with Chad Stewart from the DNR. He's like, yeah, all these great guests you have. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not fishing and I'm not hunting. I'm talking about it all the damn time.
Yeah.
but it's great, man. And you know, you've taught us a lot about bass fishing. We've had the opportunity to do some fishing together, and it's a great time, and I encourage people to go check out your website, greatlakesbass.com. What else is on the website right now?
Well, I've got the story that, like, you've got on the big bass, fishing reports, getting more popular, people looking for fishing partners. A lot of people need a fishing partner, and so that's a section on the forum. So that's something that seems to be growing. You know, there's people wanting to get into fishing. We have a number of new anglers that have just joined that are within 1-2 years of starting to fish, and they are full of questions. So we're trying to serve those people, you know, and get
sure.
them those answers.
All right, Dan Kimmel, check him out, greatlakesbass.com. I owe you some cream horns, buddy. I appreciate
okay.
it. I appreciate you joining me, man. He's awesome. Check out his website, greatlakesbass.com. There's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. I am heading to Alaska. My new bride and I are heading off on a 10-day cruise, and hopefully I'll have some fishing stories of some sort to tell you. But in the meantime, check out dartonarchery.com, lucky-buck.com, Costa sunglasses, links, all on our website. And look for that new Gander Mountain store as well. Thanks so much for allowing me to be part of your day. Check us out, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.